And show for the record, we're back in open session at 6:31 p.m. And for the audience, no decision was made in our executive session. What's the board's pleasure?
I'd make a motion to move for Mr. Bob Lusk.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
And a motion from Director Watts and a second from Director Nave, Mr. Lusk. Any further discussion? Can I? Roll call, show of hands. Which
show
one?
Of hands.
Let me have a show of hands. All in favor, please raise your right hand. And we have five. That's enough votes. We have Mr. Lusk, welcome. I have a procedural question for you. Staff has all the information to get you signed up quickly, and we could seat you up here so you can vote, or you can just sit up here and listen. And that's your call.
Then you have to vote.
Ann's got the information packet that Brian did for me and everybody else.
Well, so the way it's worded, Tracy, is we've always appointed by resolution.
A resolution?
So I've got resolution. I had it blanks for names in there.
Okay.
And I'll need to fill that out later.
What's resolution number?
Resolution 23003.
23003. Chair would entertain a motion to approve resolution 23003, appointing Bob Lusk to the board. Do I hear one?
So moved.
Motion by Tim. Do I hear a second? Shannon, do I hear you say second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Me. Nay.
It's 6-1. Okay. Resolution's approved. And then your call. Since you haven't gone through the agenda packet and everything else, if you just want to sit and listen, that's fine. Okay. All right.
We'll get with you afterwards. Well,
after the meeting, we'll take care of the paperwork and do it.
And we'll get you all sworn in, set up.
Mr. Massey, thank you for your interest and for your many years of service on the board.
You're welcome.
It has been one heck of an education for all of us. And thank you for everybody who's come at 10th tonight and visited with us, and we appreciate you. Have a safe trip home, and hopefully the weather we had last night's not repeating anywhere close. Although one of my wife's friends moved to Moore, Oklahoma, God knows why. And she posted a picture last night of a supercell. Everybody ready to move on? I'm going to go back to our public hearings, receive any public comments, request to contest, and general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions, the district's water well spacing and or minimum track size requirements. Applicant is the city of Chico. Operating permit, exception of minimum well spacing, or well system ID 103-W, well located on Park Road adjacent to 400 South Hobby Street. Doug?
Sorry, try not to talk over people. Yes, sir. Let's start with City of Chico. First of all, always throw this up there for operating permits. District Rule 2.9 says that the board shall grant the lesser of the reasonable non-speculative amount of annual groundwater demand or the applicable annual production allowable per continuous controlled acres described in the rules. So, City of Chico, basically, City of Chico currently operates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 wells. Is that correct, Kyle? All of those are operational. The southern plane, pressure plane in their city is operated by only one well supports that plane. So they're seeking to drill a new well for basically redundancy to basically split the use, for that southern pressure plane. They don't really expect to pump any more water above and beyond their historic use permit, but you have to have an operator. You can't pump a new well under a historic use permit, right? You got to have the operating permit for the allocation for the new well. So They're proposing well 19339, a 90 gallon a minute well. You can see in the map, it's there kind of on the south side, southwest side of Chico, fairly close to the city limits. You'll see in the map in a second. 90 gallon a minute well drilled 160 foot deep, 8-inch casing, 10 horse motor, spacing for a 90 gallon a minute well is 2,500 foot from the nearest registered well and 750 foot from the nearest property line. Of course, for cities, water providers, we use the CCN or the city limits as the property boundary. So for property line spacing, there is one property that is less than 750 feet away. They were issued notice. Kyle, we have not heard from that. Correct. Okay. And then there are two wells within 2,500 foot, but both of those wells are non-operational commercial wells at a, looks like an abandoned facility. Some of you guys up in Bridgeport, I mean, in that area may know what that is. Do you remember what the owner of that is? Yeah. Yeah, it's, they reported to us, I think the first year or so, and then, or did they ever report to us? So there's two wells within the spacing, area, but neither of those wells are operational or use it. So as far as allocation goes, district rules talk about the average thickness of the aquifer underneath the applicant's property multiplied by a factor of 500, multiplied by the acreage owned or controlled. For water providers, we look at their CCN or their service area or the city limits as the acreage owned or controlled. So the applicant's property, their CCN, is 20,785.45 acres. The average aquifer thickness is 133 feet. They're proposing 160 foot, so they get full, to use the full allocation of the 133 foot of aquifer thickness. So we also, our rules also talk about deductions from that allocation. So we deduct off because within a CCN or a service area, there may be private well owners and private wells. We deduct off the acreage, that is associated with those private wells. So you don't double allocate. Those people are using their private property right. And so we don't count that acreage. There's 296.8 acres associated with registered exempt wells. So that's deducted off. And then there are multiple permits. The city's historic use permit, Targa Midstream has two historic use permits, and then Chico ISD has a historic use permit. So the volumes from all of those are deducted for what they could be allocated. Still leaves over 1.2 billion gallons they could be allocated. They're requesting 23.65 million gallons per year. However, I'll get to this in a second. My recommendation is a little bit lower, but I'll get there in a second. Impact analysis, we look at for any well that's requesting an exception to district spacing rules, we do a fairly straightforward impact analysis looking at the impact that the proposed well pumping at the rate and the volume that they're proposing would have on the area. Obviously, whenever we look at existing registered wells to see what the what the impact could be. And then we also, in the model simulation, we simulate multiple wells completed to similar depth at varying distances from the proposed well to simulate impacts. Impact in the well itself would be, simulation shows quite a bit. That's pumping impacts mostly. As far as the simulated wells, you're looking at 1,250 feet, you can expect a 4.5 foot of water level decline, over a 10-year period from this well pumping. So the applicant is seeking an operating permit of 23,650,000 gallons. The request is based on assuming the well would pump 12 hours a day at 90 gallons a minute. This assumption kind of falls under the speculative range. The current well in the pressure plane has a maximum annual use of 14,537,000 gallons. That was in 2012. So they have not indicated any growth in that pressure plane. And if the existing well were to go down, it's safe to assume for an entire, if this existing well were to go down for an entire year, it's safe to assume 14.5 million gallons would be enough. So therefore, that is what I recommend. And we've talked to their engineers, and they were all right with that.
Explain what a pressure plane is.
So, I mean, Tim and Jared could explain it better than I could. But, I mean, you know, that's basically the area of their service area, their CCN, that well provides water to, right? In other words, it's not all interconnected. That's the dumbed down version of it, right? So again, go ahead.
Another way to look at that is towns may have different elevations.
Yeah.
And you don't want to have all of the town on one set of pressure all the way across.
Right.
The high part will have low pressure. The low part will have high pressure. So you separate portions with valves and things like that. So they're on separate planes. And that way local areas have regionally
consistent pressure.
So this area of town is on one plane separate from the rest of the town.
What I'd ask is that was where I was thinking it was, but I wasn't positive, and I'm experienced. Us non-scientific members down here on the left hand board need help.
And I leave it to my engineers to say it. That's why I give you the dumbed down country boy version of it. So yeah.
So your recommendation is 14,537.
14,537, which is equal to the largest volume they've ever pumped out of the other well in that pressure plane. My recommendation is a motion to approve an operating permit in that volume. Should the board choose to approve the exception, I would add the standard stipulations, enter into a well monitoring agreement, complete the well so the district can install monitoring equipment, and complete a geophysical log of the borehole and give that and provide that log to the district.
The simulations that you ran in the models, was that at the requested or at the recommended rate?
That was at the requested.
Is there anybody, did we have any notice from the public needing to speak on this or anything?
Not to my
knowledge. Nobody from Chico is here. I didn't have a form. Okay. Board, have any other questions? If not?
I make a motion to approve the operation permit as presented by the executive director.
I'll second it.
Motion by Director Mike and a second by Director Wilson. Any further discussion from the board? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item B, owner applicant Outlaw Estates, LLC, 1224 County Road 4127 in Decatur, an operating permit for system 119-W, requested volume is 2 million gallons a year. Doug?
Yes, sir. Outlaw, this is an equine vet just south of Decatur. They currently operate one well. It's 15, 16 gallons a minute, small well. They're proposing a second well. Initially they'd met with us and we're talking to TCEQ. I'm not real sure how they, have got around needing TCEQ approval because it is a facility with bathrooms and whatnot, but, it doesn't seem like they are requiring that, but it is, they're asking for a 30 gallon a minute well and there for the vet facility, making it a non-exempt well system. Their well ID 19360, total depth 300 feet, two horsepower pump, 30 gallon a minute. Spacing for a 30 gallon a minute well is 500 foot from the nearest well, 150 foot from the property line. As you can see from the map here, let me turn on my laser pointer, 150 feet. So it meets spacing the property line and the nearest well, and it's just at over 500 foot from their existing well. So, it meets all spacing requirements and no exceptions are, required.
Is that existing well their well?
It is correct. Again, back to the annual allocation, average aquifer thickness or the depth of well, whichever is less, multiplied by 500, multiplied by the acreage, 18.78 acres multiplied. Average aquifer thickness is 475 feet. They're proposing 300 foot. So we use 300 times 500 times 18.78. It's just over 2.8 million gallons per year. They're requesting 2 million gallons per year, and I don't have it here, but they provided justification for that, and it made sense. I think there was a small fudge factor that everything they basically came out to, you know, just under 2 million gallons, so there's a little bit of a fudge factor there. But it was reasonable. So they're requesting 2 million gallons a year. No impact analysis done because it meets all spacing requirements. So my recommendation is approval of the operating permit for system 199 WOP as presented in the amount of 2 million gallons per year.
Make a motion to approve general manager's recommendation.
I'm going to second it.
Motion from Director Wilson, second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
So those were straightforward. This one may take a little bit longer. So this isn't an actual non-exempt. This is not a permit. This hearing is in regards to a request for an exception to the district's minimum track size requirement. Mr. Jose Rivas is seeking an exception to the 2 acre, track size requirement in order to drill a well on a 1.5 acre piece of property, northeast of Aurora in Wise County. You can see on the map, here's Aurora, just northeast of there is Rome. So I'll get into a little specifics about the well, then I'll get into the story. And Kyle did a bunch of digging, found all the deeds and stuff to see what happened. They're proposing a 200-foot well, 10 gallon a minute, 150 foot from the nearest well, 150 foot from the property line, meets all spacing requirements. The exception is that the tract of land is less than 2 acres and was platted or configured after 2009. So on March 3rd this year, we received an application. The land is currently 1.55 acres. The original tract of land was purchased by Mr. Stephen Ward and Ms. Belinda Smith on March 2nd of 2000. At that time, it was 4.65 acres. You can see here, I don't know if y'all can read it, but here's the deed, that date, 4.65 acres right here. On June 28th, 2011, a year and a half after the 2 acre requirement went into place, Mr. Ward and Ms. Smith sold 1.55 acres to Efren and Lucia Rivas. Here's that. So here's the whole 4.65 acres. This line right here, this is the 1.55 acres. Here's just a copy of the deed in 2011. This plat, if you can see, it was dated 2011, or this survey. Likely should have been, I'm not super familiar with the city of Aurora's platting requirements. I don't know if they would have required that to be platted. I would think they probably would have because it didn't appear to be a family sale. But it was not. It was just sold by survey, needs and bounds. September 3rd, 2021 is when Mr. Rivas purchased the property. The tract is located within the city limits of Aurora, but the city does not provide water at the location. Again, it was never platted, simply just surveyed off. The applicant, so here's the proposed location. The applicant actually lives over here on a 5 acre tract of land. He's looking to build a house for his daughter over here, is my understanding. So the property was subdivided into a lot less than 2 acres about a year and a half after the 2 acre requirement went in place. The current owner did not purchase the lot until 12 years after the 2 acre requirement went in place. The district, or I don't believe anybody was ever contacted to, you know, a lot of times, Lena, we get a ton of calls, basically, you know, weekly, monthly basis, people asking about tracts of land, you know, before they buy it. Never received a call about this one to see if there's any issues with drilling a well. Again, likely should have been platted, but again, I don't know City of Aurora's requirements. So my recommendation is denial of the application for exception. But again, if the board chooses to approve the exception, I would add, stipulations that they enter to a monitoring well agreement with us, drill the well deeper, basically seal off anything above 350, make them just like we've done before. And like the last time we did this, which is a little bit different situation, make them drill a deeper well. And then the well is limited to production capacity of 8 gallons a minute.
Can you go back one slide?
Yes, sir.
The land where the applicant is obvious, but right to the left of that, which I guess would be on the west side of it, who owns that?
Yes.
The applicant does not own that. I'm not sure.
So the applicant owns what's in the southeast quadrant of mm-hmm. the frame in the northwest.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. The original owner does not own the 3 acres side of it.
Right. This has been sold to. I said, I understand, you know, I mean, the need to get water to the house, but I mean.
Well, are both of those properties now unable to get a well?
So this property here is still 3 acres, so they can drill a well. Remember, it was 4.65 to begin with. I don't know why they only cut off 1.55 in 2011, but they did. That they had enough acres. They had enough to cut it into two acre tracts, but they did not.
Our rules had been in effect there for 2 years at that point.
Yeah.
So. Motion to deny. You make a motion to deny? Got a motion by Director Wilson to deny. Do I hear a second? I'll second. Any further discussion?
Yes. Doug, if they were to obtain a groundwater rights easement from the neighbor with 3 acres, could they come back having 2 acres total?
Sure. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
This doesn't preclude them from.
No.
Because exactly at that point, it becomes 2 acres.
Has staff talked to the applicant about that?
We have not.
Is that something we could do?
Could.
Yeah. There is a county road between the proposed well plat and the applicant's home.
Correct.
To have this easement right away, does it have to be contiguous? County road prevent it from being contiguous.
So this is what's interesting, right? Because had that property line been 20 foot further to the east, because we do not look at public roads as separating them, in our rules, but because it's not adjacent, it's about 20 foot too far to the west. It is not.
Not contiguous.
Correct.
But if it was, they could slide.
If it was, they could slide through and get a well, correct.
How accurate do you think you are? Because looking at that, the red line on the west side is in the driveway, and it appears there's a fence just to the left of it.
There is. It's still. Yep.
It's like
we looked at
it. Shifted proportionally.
Right. We looked at it, Brent. I mean, cause that was the first thing Kyle and I talked about. We're looking to see if they were adjacent corner to corner because that would make it contiguous. Brian, were you going to say something?
No, you said what I was going to say.
Okay. Yeah, it's a unfortunate situation. You know, again, it goes back to, you know, buyer beware, right? Do your homework. It's not like it just happened or, you know, he's had it for the whole time. He just.
Yeah. He potentially has 3 neighbors he could approach.
Correct. I think it's a city street.
Yeah, that's. Without spending the money.
Well, there's also, you could run a line down the county road and go underneath county road over there from the other place.
Right. I think that's what Mike was asking, Tim. No, you're fine.
There's some due diligence that I think.
Yeah.
They do for all.
Yeah. And I don't know if the city, cause like I said, I think that's a city street, not a county road, but I don't know if the city would have any issue with that, but.
Potential options before them.
Correct.
So they do have options.
Right.
So.
They may be fruitless. They may not play out.
They may not play out, but they can explore them.
If that was the case, we may be willing to
discuss it again. Come back and talk.
Right.
But right now,
right.
They need to play out there.
There are other options.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Any further discussion from the board? I have a motion and a second to deny. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item's denied. Item 2 is moot. And show we're closing the public hearings at 6:56. We've already done item 1 on the agenda, on regular agenda. Item 2 is consent agenda, which are normal and customary routine items that are non-controversial in nature. The board can pull any one of them off for discussion and action separately if they wish. It includes the minutes of the regular board meeting and public hearing on March 16th, approval of bank statement ending March 31st, and current financial reports, payment of bills and invoices received through April 20th of this year, reimbursement expenses incurred on behalf of the district through April 20th, and approval of requests for extension applications submitted through today. We also have one other expense report from Director Micah and a total of $86.46 to add to this. Anybody want to pull anything off? If not, entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second? Second by Director Berkeley. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item three is moot. Item four, item four, board consideration of possible approval of quarterly investment report and recommendations. Doug?
Yeah, no. The only thing's worth noting is we had moved some money from a low interest bearing, basically a no interest bearing checking account into ICS account with First National Bank in Bridgeport. Director Micah brought it up to my attention. We're making 4.58% on it. So that's really good. And other than that, that's nothing else. What I'm going to do as long as that, and the way that ICS works, it's basically they guarantee, if you're familiar with TexPool, they guarantee TexPool rate plus 0.10%, I believe. And, you know, they take your money and they put it in multiple accounts all under 250,000. So it's all FDIC insured. So as long as rates are good for that, as our CDs come up, I'm going to move it into that account because it's easier to access, easier to deal with, all in one place, all FDIC insured, and a much better rate.
I'm going to ask this question because it came up in our commissioner's court meeting before last. They've done the same thing. Do we want to take a look at some of our CDs and see what the penalty is for early withdrawal? It may behoove us to move it.
I talked to Director Micah about that. I've talked to Berkeley about that, and that's, we can, a while back, we can absolutely look into that. And if
the question is most of them now are 6 month penalties.
Right.
But at 0.000, it's no big deal.
Right.
Where do we stand though on the Fidelity?
I hadn't heard anything back from them. Okay. So, and this came up, and it's this account specifically is set up for public entities.
So is it FDIC insured?
Yes.
What amount?
So all of it. So what they do, Mike, is they take the money and they put it in different FDIC insured accounts. So you could put millions in there and it's all FDIC insured.
At 4 point.
Yep. Yep.
That's the same thing that Fidelity.
Right.
Basically.
Right. And this one's set up. I mean, these are becoming kind of popular. They're specifically set up for, you know, government, you know, political subdivisions.
Staff got time to take a look at this and see where we are. Do we need to take board action to approve early withdrawal?
I think the interest rate went up last week.
Well, do we need to, does the board need to make a motion to authorize?
I would say, how about if the board wants to make a motion to authorize myself as the investment officer to work with the budget committee and make a determination on what is an acceptable penalty to pay as we look into them to cancel the CDs and move the money. Yeah. So in other words, just
what I'm not comfortable with is I hate putting all my eggs in one basket,
right,
and I'm not familiar with ICS. And I sit and see, you know, Credit Suisse.
Right.
Just basically went bankrupt.
Right. So another option is the same bank, we could open what's called a CDARS account, if you're familiar with that. And that's where basically they manage your CDs for you, right? You put the money into an account and they put them in CDs at a certain rate.
Don't want us to have all of our eggs in one
bank. Cool.
And just because that's,
yeah.
Well, we can, we've also been talking with our local bank here. We could open a second ICS or CDARS account with this bank if you want to put it in a different
bank.
You're
saying ICS is synonymous with the CDARS account?
No, they're two different things. So the CDARS account is, they put the money in CDs, and the ICS is they're putting it in other investment accounts. FDIC covered.
And I'm with Mike. I'd rather spread our eggs out around.
Do that. Actually, I've talked to our bank here, and they're willing to put open similar accounts for us.
Because you can find 4+, 4.5 at brick and mortars.
Right. Right.
And I would even suggest talking to a couple of the other banks. Right. They may do ICSs as well.
Right.
And the reason I'm, you know, I look to see, yes, we have a CD with Legend. I happen to know Legend handles Monte County.
Yep.
And the city of No-Connells, and both have done the same thing.
Have ICS, yeah. So it's getting kind of popular with government entities. It's easier to manage than chasing around CDs. And generally, you're going to have a better return.
Comment from the boards. And then we've kind of, our agenda item is such that we can take that action if we want to.
Right.
But we'd probably need a motion to authorize the general manager and the finance committee to take a look at these. And
yeah, the only thing that we would need authorization for is canceling CDs, closing CDs, and paying a penalty, moving money from.
That's to do that. You look at the CD rate, and it's going to tell you the penalty.
Right.
It's going to be 1, 3, or 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At .00 something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be.
I think the answer is going to be yes, close to
first grade math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
Fourth grade math now,
though.
I'm not hearing from the other board members. Are they comfortable doing this?
No, we're looking into it. We're not doing it.
Well, he was talking about making a motion for the finance committee to look at it. Make a recommendation to the general manager which CDs to close in doing so, in creating ICSs or CDARS, as the finance committee is comfortable.
I'd like for our final decision to be passed by the
back board. To the board.
Okay. Okay, I'll bring it to you guys next
month. And then let's bring a recommendation back next month.
Bring it next month.
We can wait a month.
And I'm if you need to.
yeah, we'll visit about it.
Okay.
So did you make that motion?
No, we don't have a motion.
The recommendation is not the motion is the only motion I need now is just approval of the quarterly investment report.
You made that motion, didn't you, Mike?
No.
To improve the investment report. Did Don do that?
No. I said, did you make that recommendation?
Wait, what are we talking about?
The only action we're taking tonight on this is approval of the quarterly investment report.
Okay. I'll make a motion too.
Okay.
He made the motion. I'm going to second.
Okay. And just for clarification, staff and the finance committee are going to bring a report back next month on which CDs to do something with and invest those funds elsewhere. Okay? Are we clear? Oh, don't go there. any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
You run away.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Simone?
We're stuck with you, Simone. Abby ran away. Hey, Simone.
You want me to speak here?
Yes,
please.
I've got a clicker for you so you can flip through the PowerPoint.
If the board doesn't remember, this is Simone Keel from Friesen Nichols. And she's an expert on water.
I am an expert on water. Abby Gardner, who was scheduled to give this presentation, is an expert on this report. Only she was here coughing and sneezing, and I told her to go home. So you've got me to give this presentation. So I apologize as I work through this because I was not prepared beforehand. But I understand it, I know it, and I can answer your questions. So thank you for having me today. As you remember, you hired Friesen Nichols a little more than a year ago. The purpose of our study was to try to help the district identify ways of alternative water sources to try to maybe move some of this high interest in groundwater development and to other sources. So this is, we're finished with the project. We have done all our due diligence and have talked to many different people. And so I'm here to hopefully give a brief overview of where we are. We had a presentation several months back, which was on the first half of the project, where we were looking at how much water it was. And this presentation will briefly go over that, but we're going to focus more so on the solutions or identification of different water management strategies, sources rather. So I talked a little bit about why we're doing this project. We're going to talk about the demand projections, the water supply assessment, which includes other water sources, surface water reuse, as well as also our brackish groundwater and existing groundwater. And then what might look like an implementation plan, because we recognize that the district is not going to be the one that actually is going to be implementing this. We'll be working together with your partners, including your counties and your other water providers and different things like that, who will actually implement the moving forward. So I do that. Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to point to. Okay. Thank you. You know, as I mentioned earlier, the big focus was to understand what are your future demands, how much water is going to be, and what is the pressure on your existing water sources, what other potential future water sources may be out there in order to meet this growing need, and what might be some ideas for an implementation guide of steps that might be taken as we talked about earlier for a more sustainable future. Some of the main issues that were raised by the district when we first met with you was that there's an unsustainable demand on groundwater. I had the opportunity to talk with Wade Oliver yesterday, and he was saying that you guys are seeing 2,000 new wells drilled, you know, every month out here, or maybe year, every year. And that, you know, if that continues like that, it's very difficult to maintain, your water supply and meet your DFCs. So the other big issue is that there's little incentive for many of your domestic users and even your commercial users to connect to public water supplies. It's easier just to put in your own private well and move forward with that. There is some difficulties with connecting to existing infrastructure. The existing infrastructure is located not near where some of these new developments are going in. And there's also, even within the, water providers, the utilities CCN, which is their, area service area, they do not have the infrastructure to fully support supplying everybody within their service area, and they run into to difficulties within that. There's limited alternative supplies available. The surface water right now is owned and operated by other water providers that are being used to supply their existing customers, and so there's some questions as to whether or not there'd be availability from those supplies to serve others. Funding was identified as a major issue when we talked with many of the water providers. And that's actually a two-part problem, because the reality is your customer is the means for which you get your funds in order to pay for the infrastructure. And if the potential people within your service area are on individual private wells and aren't interested to connecting to your utility, then you don't receive the revenue to help pay for the infrastructure to connect to all of these customers. So it's kind of a catch-22 with regards to the funding side of things. But there are opportunities for funding outside of just your main revenue sources, which are your customers. A culture shift. I'm not sure where Abby was going with that, but I apologize. You know, I think in part, some of the issues in the culture shift is that you're getting a lot of people from the Metroplex move out to your more rural communities. And we're looking really at Parker and Wise County, but they're taking with them some of their mindset of how they use water from the Metroplex, meaning that they're coming out and they're irrigating 2-acre lots. And, whereas prior to these developments, these were truly rural areas that, you know, were not irrigated. And, people who grew up in rural areas recognize that you're not going to have manicured lawns over your entire, over 2 acres, you know. So that's part of the culture shift where they use a lot more water. There's also, as well as many of these developments are high-end developments, they'll have pools, they'll have other types of amenities that are more water users. So that's something that, the district is seeing with regards to the amount of water being used by the new developments. And then, of course, there are some limitations within the district's, what you can and cannot require, you know, for these new developments that sometimes play a factor. So let's just briefly go over these demand projections, and I am going to go very brief over this. You know, basically the methodology was to gather the data to set up the boundaries and then develop the projections. And we did this and we walked through this before. So here are the Parker County projections. This is from, for the most part, from the projections that were developed in part by the regional planning plan for Region C from the 2021 that were amended by talking with all of these different developers and water providers within the area. And we increased the growth because that's what you guys are experiencing. And so it's a tremendous growth. It's about three and a half times over 50 years that you're going to see happening. A little bit less than 1 million people by 2080, maybe, which is incredible when you think about your population today. And your water demand is also going to more than triple, over that time period. This graphic over here shows this is the population and these are the rural users. And you can see how the rural users are just really going up. Your municipal growth is there, but it's not as a steep growth curve as what you see in your rural users. And then of course there's some growth in your water districts or whatever. So the 2021 Region C water plan is shown in this black line right here. And the growth that we predicted is higher than what was in the 2021 plan, but it generally follows the same trend. One of the things that you may or may not have heard, I know Tracy's very familiar with this, is that there's new projections out right now that are draft. They have not been approved. These are the new projections for Parker County. They're down here. So I just wanted to point that out to you so that you know we are working very diligently with the local entities to see about getting those revised. We're not sure as to how much success we're going to have on that, but we are definitely working on that. So this is their Parker County population. I like these maps, so I'm going to go quick. This is in 2030. The yellow is basically 0 to 1 people per acre. So you can see there's a large amount of area that is fairly rural. The orange is your more developed areas. here and red is very developed. So, you know, that's the color scheme, yellow through red. So this is what happens by 2080. One of the things that's so interesting is your western side of the county still remains fairly rural, but your eastern side is just blowing up with all the population projections coming on in. So Wise County doesn't have quite as a dramatic increase in your population projections over time, but it is more dramatic than what was predicted in the 2021 Regency Water Plan. We are seeing it's probably maybe like a decade or more behind Parker County in the sense of people actually moving out to Wise County, but the growth patterns and the rapid rise over time is expected is very similar to Parker County. And again, here is the 2026 draft projections, which are a fraction of what we think is even going to be there today. So, what are we going to do?
Yeah. I know that's a big conversation, but
population we might take.
Yeah. The Regency meeting is going to be interesting in June and July.
Yes.
To bring the board quickly up.
Mm-hmm.
The state demographer, I believe that's correct.
Yes, that's correct.
Sent out population projections for all the counties in the state. If I remember correctly, 3 of the 16 regions show a population decline. One of them was Region B, which is Montague County and Wichita Falls. And I asked the question, if you're going from 199,000 people in the region to 144,000, where did they go? And the Texas Water Development Board people, representatives, who had to bring the information. They were giving them, they're living with them. They couldn't answer me. And I'm going to be the rabble rouser and petition Region B to do some quick polling of pulling new septic permits and track over the last 5 years and track in the public water supplies, their domestic connections to show that rather than having a 33% decline over the 50 years is doing this. The oddity was for that region, all the population pretty much is in Wichita Falls. What happened in 2010 to 2020, you know, but the state demographer doesn't look at that stuff. They just look at numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that
they saw the decline, that slight decline in a decade, and punched it out 50 years and said the people just disappeared.
And the fact there was probably a pretty good undercount in the 2020 census too.
That too. And now I'm hearing that we have a similar issues in Region C. I assume G's got the same issues down in Hood County. And we have to have this information in by June.
Yeah. Well, we have to August 11th to get the numbers.
Well,
in theory,
those boards make an action, then we kind of need to have our ducks in a row by June.
Yeah. Region B is a little bit earlier.
Growth's coming.
Yes. It's coming. And this is the Wise County 2030 density map. And you can see it, it too is predominantly rural with your more urban areas, your Decatur, Bridgeport area. And then of course, right in the south, east corner here, you know, which is all part of Fort Worth, is kind of spilling on over to Eagle Mountain Lake, probably in part, you know, Eagle Mountain Lake's a amenity as well. So, and we are expecting to continue to see this kind of growth coming from, the east going towards the west and, as well. So water assessment. Okay. What are the here we go. So here are your current, just to get a picture of what type of water is being used right now in these counties. you have this blue color is what is provided by Tarrant Regional Water district system. It could include water through the city of Fort Worth, or it could include contracts directly with Tarrant or other things like that. So, but that's the amount of water that's coming from one of Tarrant Regional Water District's water sources. This red, which is about 25%, maybe a little bit less, is other surface water sources. Could be Lake Weatherford, could be, from mineral wells, from their lakes, from Palo Pinto, et cetera. And groundwater. Groundwater is probably about a third in Parker County right now. There is this slice of reuse, which is pretty much mostly Weatherford's indirect reuse project. There is some direct reuse that's happening in some of the smaller communities, but typically the smaller communities' direct reuse is pretty small. So that's where what we're seeing. So we're seeing a lot of surface water already in Parker County, with still a large amount of groundwater. Wise County, the groundwater percentage is much greater, as well as Tarrant Regional's water supply percentage is much greater. This other little slice of surface water is very small, as well as indirect reuse or reuses. So what is the amount of groundwater that's out there right now? This is the current MAG. However, I believe your new DFC pumping and MAGs are been approved at this point. Is that right?
Correct.
So this is the new MAG. So this is now the current MAG, this red right here. And this was the actual pumpage in 2020. So you can see they're pumping less than what the modeled available groundwater numbers are for Parker, as well as for Wise County.
I think there's another slide that shows it when you break it down by aquifer.
Let's see.
It's a little bit. I think there's another slide that shows some of the some portions.
Oh,
these are just wells. If I remember looking at it.
We may have taken them out.
We may have.
So I apologize if you wanted to see it, but it's probably in the report.
Yeah. So what I was going to point out is, although the overall MAG, we're not pumping there yet, there are portions of the aquifer where we're already close to or over the MAG in pumping.
From the Trinity?
Yeah.
From the different?
Yeah. For example,
nations.
The outcrop of the Twin Mountains in Parker okay. County. So like Brock area, that area, we're already over the MAG. So.
Okay.
I suspect that while we do have some MAG reserve, we don't have enough MAG reserve for doubling and tripling in population.
No,
you don't. You don't. That's the whole point.
That was the point of this study.
The whole point. We're just trying to get you guys the picture today, and then we're going to move forward. But you're right. And when we get to that point, the concept of developing additional groundwater still has to be on the table somewhere, because you're going to have people who are going to move out there. They're going to put their own domestic well in, and they're going to do that. Hopefully the people who do that are offset by the people who are coming off of their domestic wells onto some municipal system, but it's going to take time to get to that point, to get people off of their own wells. And so there will be a transition period where there will be people continuing to drill new groundwater wells in order to, because I don't see the development slowing down. And this is just, these are just maps showing all of the different wells that you have in Parker County. As you can see, it's quite a lot. They tend to be in these development corridors here, which I think this is your Brock area right here. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. And, you know, in different areas. Now, this area right here is not shown a whole lot. Some of this is because it's served by Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
turning into Wolf.
Right. So these are the areas that aren't currently being served by, you know, other utilities or different things like that. And, you know, obviously here in your Cross Timbers formation, there's not a lot of wells. And also your Parker County SUD is serving much of this area over here. So, this is Wise County. It is a little bit, more dispersed with its, you know, well fields. So it's just pretty much everybody is pretty much, you know, on wells, except for around Lake Bridgeport. And again, part of that is in part because it's probably the cross timbers, which isn't the...
Not very productive.
Yeah. So we already talked a little bit. We have the Tarrant Regional Water District system. Of course, you've got... that includes, I'm not going to go through all of their sources, but the ones that are potentially pertinent to this area are your West Fork, which is your Lake Bridgeport and Eagle Mountain Lake for the most part. Lake Benbrook is also part of their system, which is at the lower end of, kind of southwestern Tarrant County. So it is a potential source as well, potentially for the southern portion of Parker County. Weatherford Lake, along with, you know, the Brazos River Authority has some water supplies that right now it currently supplies Parker County Sud and Palo Pinto Reservoir, which is used to supply Mineral Wells, which Mineral Wells in turn supplies some area, Parker areas in western Parker County. So this is just a geographic map to kind of show you the different river basins and the surface water sources here. You're in the Trinity River Basin for half of Parker County and all of Wise County. And here are the lakes. You know, as I talked about, there's Benbrook, there's Eagle Mountain. And then, this is your Brazos Basin here. So, that plays into a factor to some effect with surface water supply. So just keep that in mind. Maybe. Okay. I talked a little bit about this already. I'm not going to go very far. We talked about the indirect reuse, and some direct reuse, obviously with Aneta, Millsap and Weatherford. And direct reuse, for those who aren't familiar with it, is where you take the wastewater effluent and you use it for non-potable purposes. It could be for an industry. It could be for cooling purposes. It could be for irrigation even, you know, or something like that. Oftentimes it's used for, it could be used for irrigation of golf courses or other public city parks. Sometimes the cities might do that. So here are the... We call it needs, and what needs are is the projected water demands based off of what we talked about earlier with those populations and how much water people are using today, and projecting that out over the next 50 years versus the amount of water that is currently connected and are able to supply to these people.
For those of you guys that aren't plugged into the regional water planning world, You could just think of a need as a shortage.
As a shortage, right. Right. So probably a generous way of looking at it, but what we did is we applied the MAG value as the maximum amount of groundwater that could be developed within the county. And be sustainable, right? That's the maximum amount of groundwater to be developed as available supply. Okay. Just to, in order to calculate the shortage, you know, it's used just for the shortage. We recognize that, that number can change over time. In fact, it does every 5 years through the joint planning process. But for our snapshot, we used what the current, a modeled available groundwater is. And then the blue color here is everything else but the groundwater. And so this hashed color is the shortage, and which is the difference between this line, which is your demand, and these supplies here. So this is the amount of water that we're looking at to develop for Parker County. For Wise County, it has a smaller shortage in 2030 and 2040, but by 2080, it too is starting to show a significant shortage out here.
That appears to be more than 50%.
It does appear to be more than 50%. It's pretty close to 50%, but yeah.
Just over.
Okay. Implementation plan. So what can we do? What can we do to actually, you know, help meet this shortage? Well, you know, we talked about additional groundwater, and additional wells. I really think additional wells is a interim measure for what we can do to do this until we can get some other measures in place. There's potential for brackish groundwater. Parker County said was doing a pilot well. I don't know what the status of that did.
Yeah, I was going to update them during my management report. We've drilled the well. It's still to be figured out. It's interesting.
Okay. So anyway, it's uncertain whether that would be a successful source for them. Right now, to be honest, Parker County Sud already does advanced treatment for the Brazos River water because it's too salty for municipal use without doing some level of advanced treatment. So to take that a step further and to apply that advanced treatment to brackish groundwater would not be a stretch for Parker County Sud. And so that is a potential there. The other potential is to buy treated water from our water providers. You know, we have Mineral Wells, Fort Worth, Parker County Sud. As I said, they have their own treatment plant. Walnut Creek Sud does in Weatherford and Upper Trinity as well. We talked to all of those different water providers. And I will be honest. We didn't get a lot of positive response that they were wanting to sell water. The Walnut Creek Sud does not have a problem with selling water. They just don't have the funding to figure out how to, expand their, distribution system to sell water to other customers. And they, been running into challenges with that. The city of Fort Worth is not interested in expanding outside of what already they have committed to. Mineral Wells is the same way. And I think, in part, and Doug went and Abby went on this field trip. I think in part they're struggling with their water treatment plant capacity. And so, so they're not interested in taking on additional customers at this time, whether or not that could be resolved in the future. I'm sure it needs to be, but we don't know what the time frame is on that. Upper Trinity Regional Water District, for those who may or may not be familiar with them, they are a wholesale water provider, and they have many customers in the in Denton County. And they have, I think, is it Bolivar or
right,
that they have a contract with, you know, up in Wise County. They actually expressed some interest in being a provider, you know, in the eastern Wise County area. The challenge is they don't have their own water source in order to provide to them. So if there was some way to develop a new water source in that vicinity, then they would be very much interested in possibly being the water provider up there. So it was, that's, I know I'm giving you probably more information, but I think all of this was important. The bottom line was, they said, well, we realize you have a problem, but we're just not really ready yet to kind of help solve it on the purchase treated. Is that your gist of it? Yeah.
Fine. Yeah. The most, it seemed like of everybody we met with, Upper Trinity was the most willing. But again, Simone hit the nail on the head. They were, you know, they would love to build a system on the west side, like basically eastern Wise County, far western Denton County, but they would need a source of water, and that's their issue. So they seem the most likely, but it's again, the source water.
I see some districts not mentioned. Did they just not respond at all? They
which
did not
ones?
Want to contribute to this study.
Which ones?
West Wise.
We met with West Wise.
Them?
This is a highlight, Don. This is a highlight. We met with West Wise.
Okay.
We met with West Wise.
I didn't see it there, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go back to the.
They weren't interested in growing.
Well, I didn't think so.
I'll just go back to the hatch mark shortages.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically saying there is no available source to meet those shortages. Or to eliminate those shortages. Let me refresh.
No, I haven't finished yet. This is just the purchased treated water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me finish. there's also an option to purchase raw water and treat it. Okay. There is a possibility to purchase additional raw water from Tarrant Regional Water District. The amount, of course, is still uncertain and who would actually be doing the purchasing. And talking with Tarrant Regional, they are open to serving their customers within their service area.
Right.
What they are not receptive to is that they've actually had requests from smaller communities that want to tap into their pipeline, like off of their connection pipeline from Benbrook to Eagle Mountain Lake or something like that. There is no pipeline from Lake Bridgeport to Eagle Mountain Lake. The way that they operate their system is to release water from Lake Bridgeport and it flows down the West Fork of the Trinity River and then flows into Eagle Mountain Lake. And then from there, they take that water and use it. So anybody who takes water out of Lake Bridgeport has their own intake at Lake Bridgeport.
One of the things, Simona, and this kind of goes into our next item is, you know, our state rep from Parker County has been in a lot of contact with folks over there. And even when we talked to Tarrant Regional, they weren't interested in small, like maybe if it was a large entity looking to purchase large amounts of water, they were more interested. But again, it's raw water, so it's going to have to be treated and kind of gets into the rest of.
Right. And that gets into some of our recommendations.
Right.
So anyway. Tarrant is a very logical, major water provider that has multiple resources across their service area. The Brazos River Authority is another major water provider that has multiple reservoirs and resources. Some of the challenges that we've run into with BRA's, willingness to serve is that, most of their water supplies are committed to other users. There was a small amount of water that was available, but it was kind of like put on the market to all of their existing customers to see, hey, who wants this small amount of water? I'm not sure if it's still available today. You know how that goes.
I think they still have 8,000 acre feet. I don't think it's been spoken for yet, but that's not going to go very far.
It's not going to go very far, but the problem is you have to contract for it now.
Right.
And that creates a financial burden on who's ever contracted.
And that 8,000 acre feet is what they have available for their entire Brazos Basin, right?
Yeah.
All the way down.
I think so.
Yeah.
And, but they are more than willing to contract for, or especially with existing customers that follow.
All right. All right.
And, then of course there is the concept of a potential new reservoir in Wise County, which we looked at. That is a complex, potential source in part because as you're probably aware, the state owns all the surface water in the state. And so you have to get a water right permit for it. And then they kind of similar to how your groundwater permits are, where you allocate so much water to your different permits and stuff like that. Well, the Trinity River Basin is pretty much fully allocated out. What they call appropriated. That's their word. And so to get new water developed, there's not a lot of what they call unappropriated water, unallocated water to other users. And so you would have to buy this from another surface water user downstream in order to store the water in this new lake that you build in Wise County. That's certainly a doable option. All of this is doable. It all just costs money. And so that's part of the challenge with a new surface water reservoir is that they can be very expensive to construct. And, but I don't recall the exact quantity of water. It's not a lot of water. Do you remember? It's less than 10,000 acre feet.
Yeah, the yields, mm-hmm. yes. I mean, it mm-hmm. could.
7,700?
Yeah.
Okay.
It could have been made more through purchases and agreements, but yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't much.
So it's a little bit, but it's not a lot. There's the Turkey Peak Reservoir, which is going up in Palo Pinto County, we hope, or I think that's under, I think it's under construction. Have they started?
They've gotten their started the permitting process there.
Okay. So, but that's kind of slated for mineral wells.
Right.
And, it's uncertain how much, they're willing to sell from that source. So, which is not up here, but just based off of my other knowledge is that, there are other water supplies, being developed by these big major water providers in the Metroplex, which includes Tarrant Regional, includes Upper Trinity, as well as, our major providers to the east of and the Metroplex. It is possible when those new sources come around that they may be able to direct that raw water up to, this area, up to Bridgeport area, and maybe use that as a base to take new water from. I don't see that happening for another 30 plus years, you know, so that's a challenge with meeting your near-term needs, you know. So, so in addition to, what I would call conventional new water sources, we have ASR, which is aquifer storage and recovery. We have not done any studies, and to my knowledge, I don't believe there have been any studies in this area on whether or not ASR would be successful. It could be something that if you have a regional water provider, which we'll talk about later, at times when it is, wet periods, especially if you have, like Bridgeport that's very full, you may be able to overdraft it and to store that water in the aquifer if it's successful. Reuse. We haven't talked about that. I mean, we've talked about regional water providers, but you could also do a regional wastewater provider, where you consolidate, your wastewater effluent instead of having, thousands of septic tanks. And then you could take that water and reuse that. Rainwater harvesting. Now that's more on an individual basis, either in an individual, commercial facility or homes or that, but it hasn't really gained any traction, I don't think, in this area very much. And it is, would need a backup water supply. It's not something you can rely on during a drought, but it would be a supplemental water supply, as well as conservation. Now, some of the challenges that you have with conservation, of course, is that, you don't have any stick really with individual homeowners, you know? So your only thing you can do is the carrot side, is to try to convince people that this would be a good thing. You need to do this. Unlike, you know, municipalities, they have a little bit more sway in how they can enforce, outdoor watering and that kind of stuff. But in an area that is all on private wells, there's not a lot of, means to enforce conservation. So, okay. So what we did in the report is we split our study area into three subregions. One is we split the Parker County Brazos Basin out separate from Parker County Trinity Basin, in part because it has its different issues, you know, as well as some of the complexities with moving surface water from the Trinity Basin to the Brazos Basin. But that's not a significant hurdle at all with regards to moving surface water to get what they call an interbasin transfer to Parker County in the Brazos Basin. And then Wise County is the third one. So I talked a lot about this already, about where will the water come from, who will treat it and transport it to the end users. Those were the types of questions we were trying to answer. Ultimately, whatever path that we identify is going to be the responsibility of the individual water provider to develop and implement their own water plan. We can give them ideas in this report, but it's up to the individual water providers to actually move forward with it. Some of the strategies that we've talked about, which I know you guys have on your agenda, is the concept of this regional water provider. Those of you may be familiar with this. If you're familiar with other regional providers, Upper Trinity Regional Water District, Municipal Water District, is an example of a regional water provider, as well as a North Texas Municipal Water District, where they basically provide wholesale water to your utilities. So what they do is they're responsible for developing the raw water source, treating the raw water source, developing what I would call large-scale distribution pipeline systems, and then dropping off this water at a single point in each, or possibly two points, at a utility, either a MUD or a city, or, you know, a utility district. And then that utility is responsible for the distribution to their individual retail customers. That utility collects their own revenue from the individual customers, and the utility then pays the regional water provider for the raw water, I mean, for the treated water, wholesale water. So that's how that regional provider works. There are some things we've identified that the counties can do to try to help transition this from groundwater to surface water. And then there's also some things that were identified that could be done on individual water users. So, sorry. Mineral Wells, obviously they own and operate their own water treatment plant. I'm not going through this. I already talked about this. Parker County SUD supplements supply with groundwater and water supply purchased from Mineral Wells. Okay. This is a map of showing, you know, where the different mineral wells, but they provide water to a lot of these different folks here, and they provide water to Parker County SUD too. So anyway, the bottom line is Mineral Wells could potentially act as a bigger water provider, which we already talked about, and they said they aren't that interested. And we talked about Parker County SUD expanding their service area, maybe even outside their existing SUD, or to be able to provide water to other water supply corporations, to serve more of your, what we would call this western part of Parker County. So those are your two big players, is Mineral Wells and Parker County SUD there for potentially becoming, water providers to that area. So this is what is in our plan as ideas. Now, remember, this is just, these are ideas out there for each of these providers to consider, but to explore the brackish groundwater, which they're already doing, explore purchasing additional water from BRA, which I know has been brought up to them, and they are considering that. looking at the long-term feasibility for future groundwater permits in those areas, increase the treatment infrastructure at Mineral Wells and Parker County SUD to be able to provide additional water beyond what they're doing now. Mineral Wells will definitely need to improve their treatment plant in order to provide their current customers, but they could expand it even further and become more of a regional provider, provided that they could use the water from Turkey Peak and Palo Pinto. There could be, as well as possibly entering into a partnership with Palo Pinto Municipal Water District on becoming a a partner on building of this Turkey Peak and being guaranteed a certain amount of water from that. That's a possibility. looking at developing some transmission infrastructure from Mineral Wells to the northern portion of the Brazos River Basin part of Parker County, which would be the northwest part. And then, and maybe some transmission infrastructure from Parker County SUD to more of the southern portion of the region that doesn't exist right now. The other thought was to let's try out, let's find out what the, feasibility is for ASR, especially considering, if Parker County SUD is able to enter into an agreement with the BRA for additional water, it might be something that they could employ ASR along with this surface water. So. Now it works.
Very good.
Okay. Now here's Parker County Trinity Basin, which, so you can see a lot of it's Weatherford, Hudson Oaks, Will Park. A lot of this is being served from Fort Worth. You know, there are connections from Weatherford and Fort Worth here as well as here's your Walnut Creek SUD, Reno, different things. So Weatherford has already said that they're really not interested in expanding. Fort Worth says that they're not interested. Walnut Creek SUD has a very large CCN up here that could expand and serve this area more than right now they currently do. Springtown, I don't see Springtown really doing much of anything, and I don't see much with Azle. I think this is just trying to tell you what's there in Parker County on that side. again, all of the recommendations include that the applicants for groundwater permits should do some studies, evaluate their options and long-term feasibility, which I think you guys already know. Sorry, this has taken so long. I think what's in the works is they're trying to transition Aneta to surface water supplies. That's already in the work. Northeastern Parker, is looking at possibly acquiring some additional supplies from Tarrant at Bridgeport. The raw water would be treated by an existing or new regional provider. Southeastern Parker County would transition off of groundwater by connecting to wholesale providers in the area. Those providers could be anything, you know, if Fort Worth changes their mind, possibly Fort Worth, could be other providers, in and around that area. Could even be Tarrant, you know, to connect over that way off of their Benbrook line or something. And as, you know, all of these different alternatives, include looking at, they're gonna have to expand their existing infrastructure for Walnut Creek SUD, Fort Worth and Weatherford if they're gonna supply anybody else. So. The long-term need in this area is 50 MGD. Midterm needs only 13 MGD. Short-term, it's just 1 MGD, which I think right now they're probably meeting it with groundwater. Okay, here's your Wise County. Where's West Wise? Here's West Wise up here around Bridgeport. It has a very large service area as well. so these are your major players in Wise County, Fort Worth, Walnut Creek SUD, Bridgeport, Runaway Bay, and Decatur. Walnut Creek SUD sells to West Wise, as well as to Boyd, Paradise, and Rome. And right now, Bolivar, as we talked about, is currently on groundwater, but they're trying to transition to Upper Trinity. Okay, long-term, the groundwater stuff. This one, I mean, other than what I've already talked about, also includes considering the development of a new reservoir. As I've previously mentioned, this new reservoir is very expensive. So it would have to be some economic feasibility to figure out how to do that. So, but it's still an option. So, again, their long-term needs are almost as much as Parker County on the eastern side, 44 MGD. But their short-term needs are, and midterm needs are, you know, 16 MGD, which is considerable for Wise County. You know, Wise County doesn't have a whole lot of water right now that they're using. So, okay, here's this concept of this regional water provider, and it's recommended for all subregions. So there's kind of like two options for creating this regional provider. Obviously, your representative and what's on the agenda is to create a new entity, and that makes sense to do that. Another option would be to have one of the existing providers take on more of a regional provider role, meaning that they would, take on the treatment, additional, and then sell water to other, water utilities. Both of those options could work. We feel that both surface water and brackish groundwater is going to be critical to moving off of your existing groundwater. And it's certainly more effective to build one large treatment plant than it is to build a lot of smaller little plants. And in part to a lot of what we've found is your smaller rural communities, it's hard to get, water plant operators, to stay and work there. So it's easier to have it consolidated and more efficiently run to do that. It may end up with, more distribution lines and stuff in order to move the water to where it's needed, but it's still, that's something that's easier to maintain, out of rural communities than the water treatment plant itself. So it also, you know, helps streamline decision making and implementation of large projects. So, some actions by individual water users. Obviously they could drill additional wells, but the conservation and drought measures, that's something we've already talked about, rainwater harvesting. We talked about reuse. And the key, and you guys know this better than I do, the key is to incentivize the rural homeowner that's on their own domestic well that they want to move off of that well and onto a municipal water system. And that's a hard sell. It's a hard sell to do that, but somehow, there's got to be some way to try to help transition that if it's not with the existing rural community, with the future rural community growth. So, county actions, groundwater study requirements to include that with all of their groundwater permits, which I think you do to some extent, already.
This is specifically talking about, the counties as part of their platting process.
And then one other idea was to have an interlocal agreement with the Upper Trinity Groundwater District to review and oversee. What's the GAC?
Groundwater availability certification.
Thank you. I told you I'm subbing. So I apologize. Which is also why it's not as streamlined. So anyway, the concept is to work in a partnership, you know, with the counties in order to approve these new developments and these new groundwater wells and different things like that. So that was the partner. Now the counties can help a whole lot by providing funding assistance. One concept, the American Rescue Plan, I do know that Parker County had some funds available from that they were looking at trying to apply for water supply, future water planning needs. There's also several different financial assistance programs that are spearheaded by the Texas Water Development Board. They are not grant programs, but they do provide low interest loans. Another idea was this strategic water planning task force at the county level, where they actually kind of talk about the water issues and work together and try to come up with different ideas and kind of see the different direction on issues and projects to try to help solidify a cohesive approach into how are we going to solve this. Conservation and education and implementation of conservation can happen at the county level if the county decides to take that on. We found, obviously, the municipalities are doing that. If you're in a school district, you know, within Weatherford, you're probably getting some education on conservation that way. The school district programs are probably your best venue for conservation. We found that they are some of the most effective in behavior changes to have these little kids tell their parents they're wasting water and they should be ashamed is probably some of the best effective ways. But, you know, all of that could happen to help try to move that culture shift that we're seeing. I'm done. Sorry.
What's the next step?
That's about all we can do.
We need to take these to the two commissioners' court.
Yeah, and I was going to ask Commissioner Burns. I'm actually on the agenda, and I was going to mention to Shannon and Tim later. I'm on the agenda Monday to update the Parker County Commissioners' Court with this study, and then I'm sure in the next commissioners' court available, I'll come update the Wise County Commissioners' Court on these things. I think the big takeaway, and it's something I've talked to Commissioner Burns about, and I've talked to JD about it, and I've talked to Parker County leadership about it, entering into an agreement with us to basically let us review, if not oversee, the groundwater availability certification process. They're doing it in Johnson County, Hill County, Bell County. They've entered into agreements with the groundwater districts. I think it'd be very beneficial for both parties. We get some good data. Those studies they'd have some oversight. You know, the counties aren't, I mean, you don't have PGs working for you, right? You don't have hydrogeologists, and groundwater modeling and groundwater science isn't their thing. So we're happy to help with that. So I think that's one of the key things that I think we could do. But as far as we're concerned, I mean, you know, this is kind of outside the realm of what groundwater districts do anyway, but I think it was beneficial to us. And again, at the request, I think Commissioner Burns made the motion requesting us to do something like this, but it, you know, ultimately it's going to, if we can help point the direction, then it's potentially going to help conserve groundwater, right? So, and it kind of leads in right into our next agenda item too.
And it's not that long-term concern is we're going to have pockets,
right,
of groundwater areas that are going to deplete to where it's difficult for homeowners to have water.
Right.
And there's little we can do about it. We've got to have the county as well as the region level identify this and try to identify alternative sources to meet these needs.
Right.
And Simone mentioned that building a new lake is expensive. I don't remember off the top of my head what the daily draft out of Ringgold is going to be, but the price tag is $465 million.
Mm-hmm. The last number I saw. The yield of Ringgold's pretty close to like 25,000 acre feet per year. Yeah.
And lakes are extremely expensive. They are politically a nightmare.
Right.
Well, it's not just building the lake. You also have to buy the water rights from your downstream water right holders in order to.
Well, in this case, Red River, then they're not having the issues that Tarrant and Brazos River
lakes have. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot of available water west of I-35 for service.
No.
So something's got to give.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, long term, the water's just, it's going to have to come from the east.
And for us,
realistically,
the continuing to put straws in the ground eventually is going to create some significant shortages in some areas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hood County, I'm sure you're mentally asking questions, what about Hood County? Hood County hadn't had the pressure that Parker County has, nor Wise County. Montague has had relatively little. And their court has done some stuff to try to not get in this position.
In Hood County, they've already begun transitioning them. Granbury's transition. I mean, they've cut their groundwater pumping way back. AMUD's starting to transition to lake water. So you've got a transition happening away from groundwater there. Whereas in Parker and Wise County, the amount of groundwater being produced is on the increase.
And for the western part of our district, there's not a whole lot of groundwater there.
If it's there at all. Right.
So you're going to meet with the two commissioners' courts and bring them up to spud.
Yep.
And feed and basically say it's in your court now.
Right.
Okay.
Right. We've started a water harvesting program here with some grants.
Mm-hmm.
With the possibility of us trying to talk with the counties to maybe doing some tax incentives or some way to help out in some of these other areas. That would help offset some things.
There's all kinds of things we can talk about. I mean, and that's the point, right? Is to continue to hopefully work together to help solve this problem.
And what about, do we still need to think about going to the 5-acre?
I think when we finally get the state's study on the cross timbers, you've got a county that's got a bunch of cross timbers. I would not be surprised to find out that our PGs tell us it's not 5 acres, it's 10.
Yeah.
Which is the max we can do. Correct?
Well, you can, yeah.
Because there's just not enough water out there producing.
That's the whole point. I know that. That's the reason why. But
I suspect we're going to have, we can, politically, we can sell that in the cross timbers because it's not there.
Right.
I don't think you could sell that in the Trinity.
Right.
Now, I've got parts of the Trinity and Montague County we probably could, but parts we couldn't.
Right.
And it'd be a nightmare for staff to monitor.
Right.
So, I think we've done what we can do here. We've got some information. I think Region C has some more accurate data now for Parker and Wise County to work with in their planning. And Simone's one of the leads on that plan, regional plan. So, I think we've done what we can here at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
thank you.
Those of us who have been on this board for a while are concerned about there are some places that are going to be in big hurt. And we've got to figure out an answer because people have got to have water.
Right. There are. It was eye-opening, right? It was eye-opening, especially, you know, Kevin, when we started talking about, you know, the people, where's like the Rolling V, where's that water going to come from? When we started talking to the entities that, you know, it was our understanding where that water was coming from. And they're like, we don't have a contract. Somebody mentioned it to us a long time ago. So, you know, it was some of this was eye-opening. Some of it we knew, some of it was kind of eye-opening. So.
Doug, have you shared the report with the board?
I have. I sent it out to them, and I'm going to make it available. If there's no other updates, and we'll probably put it on our website soon. So,
Do you need hard copies too? I'll talk to you.
Yeah. Let's talk about it later.
Okay.
Appreciate
thank
it.
So
thank
much.
You, man.
Thank you, Simone. Ready?
Everybody ready to charge on?
Yeah. No, you're fine.
Much left is charging.
I'm not sure we're charging real hard.
Let's
Simone,
go.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Burns, thank you for kickstarting this. Item 6, discussion regarding potential bill to be filed by State Representative Lynn Rogers to create the Cross Timbers Regional Utility Authority. Take action as necessary, including possible adoption of Resolution 23-002 in support of said Regional Utility Authority. And I do have someone sign up to speak as well.
Yep. So this is kind of led right into this. I've been taking in the last 6 months to 8 months, spent a lot of meetings with folks in Parker and Palo Pinto County, meetings led by Representative Rogers, looking at solutions. I primarily was focused on Western Parker County, and then his district goes into Palo Pinto and Stevens County, looking for solutions because honestly, what's going to stop anything from happening is the lack of water, right? As you move west into that area, you get outside the Trinity Aquifer. There's no groundwater. There's no real, outside of mineral wells, there's no real water availability. So State Representative Rogers is, put together a draft bill. It's with Ledge Council right now. Notice was filed. I forget what date. I think he can file the bill. I think Friday or Saturday. It'll be after enough public notice. Again, it's still with Ledge Council. So I hadn't actually seen the Ledge Council copy of the bill yet, but the idea is to create a regional utility authority, similar to think of like Greater Texoma Utility Authority or something like that, to be a regional water provider, right? Not necessarily to maybe provide retail, but really to have the economies of scale to build these large regional plants, maybe purchase, and bring in water from Tarrant Regional, and then sell it wholesale, help sell treated water to entities within Parker County. As a resident of Wise County, I'd love them to see them include Wise County and I would encourage you to talk to your state rep, because I would, and I've mentioned this to Representative Rogers as well. And I think Representative Rogers is open to adding counties to the, cause I think as when you're talking about it, it wouldn't take over other districts. It would literally be able to create an entity that's large enough to build these large regional facilities, as Simone talked about, bring in large amounts of raw water, treat it, and then disperse it and wholesale, treated water to your MUDs, your SUDs, your investor owned utilities, to your cities, just to bring in water from somewhere else. So Representative Rogers has asked, a lot of the local entities, for support on this. Of course, most local bills like this, they tend to move through the legislature fairly easily unless some local entity, comes out against it. But at his request, I have put together a resolution, for us to adopt if the board so chooses to support the creation of the Cross Timbers Regional Utility Authority. Right now, the draft bill is to include all of Parker, all of Palo Pinto, and all of Stevens County. And being the way it is situated over both the Trinity and Brazos Basin does make moving water from the Trinity Basin into the Brazos Basin easier. Being that the entity exists over both river basins. So that's it. Happy to answer any questions that y'all have.
Board have any questions at this point? Mr. Massey, you signed up to ask comment, question, or whatever.
For the record, I'm Mike Massey. Thank you very much for your time. I have had a chance to review that briefly. My sense of fair play, is somewhat concerned. The creation of the board creates 7 people, 3 from Palo Pinto, 3 from Parker, and 1 from Stevens. It's not my ox getting gored, so I assume they've all agreed to that. So it's okay, but it seems like an unusual way to distribute decision-making processes. The one thing that I am mostly concerned about, and I am deeply concerned about this, there is a clause in there that would give this district, if it created, eminent domain both inside and outside its boundaries. I don't have any problem with them having eminent domain in their boundaries if that's what the folks want. But outside the boundaries is another issue. And there is no limit in the draft that I saw about how far outside you could have power. There is a clause at the end of the proposition, the draft, that says if it does not get 2/3 vote in both houses, there'll be no eminent domain. But we all know how these bills work, and the chances of it not drawing 2/3 is very remote unless somebody really went to raising a stink. So what I would humbly ask you to do is ask them to strike the outside the boundaries and leave the inside the boundary and the other clause like it is. I can't see any moral or fair justification for affecting people outside a district without any input into the game at all. That's all I have.
I can see where, and it doesn't help them either.
Right. No. And there was some discussion about that. Again, that was a draft, and we haven't seen the Ledge Council version, right? So they may clean that up. There was some discussion at the last meeting we had with, Dr. Rogers' staff about that. So again, that's up to y'all's decision. But yeah, there was some discussion about that as well.
I'm adamantly, personally against approving or even appear to approve anything that's in draft stage.
So,
you know, when they get the finished product.
Right.
Then I think we should look at
it. So we will not meet again prior to this bill being heard. And that's fine. And
then that's too bad.
That's fine.
But Mike raises a good point. Not so much on issue, but the fact is that's something very significant that we're not aware of. And I don't want to put my name. I mean, they could come to my place and say, you're the epicenter of groundwater in southern Montague County, which I might very well be.
Right.
And suddenly they can take it from me.
Right.
So who's driving this boat right now? I mean, what does it matter if we approve or disapprove? Let's don't do this blindly.
Okay. Again, that's it's y'all's decision.
I think in theory we'd support that concept, but not the specifics on the eminent domain type.
We got to be careful about the concept.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, we know what happens with the simple bill that suddenly, you know, the income tax was only for 3 years.
Right. Right. Right.
Gracie, you're getting personal now.
I don't understand the comment about the 2/3 vote. And if it doesn't go to.
In the statement.
Am I allowed to ask him a question as he sit down?
Brian, you want to say what you just texted me, Brian?
Yeah, all Chapter 49 water districts in the state have the authority to exercise eminent domain inside or outside of their boundaries. Walnut Creek Sud, Parker Sud, every MUD and Sud and WCID and River Authority and Tarrant Regional and everybody else, because they typically have to go, if they're a wholesale provider especially, they have to go acquire water resources wherever they are and build pipelines to pipe them into your area. And so I'll just note that that's he could leave that out of the bill. And what he's done in the draft bill is to limit their authority as opposed to general law by putting a distance limit in there. Because if he said nothing, they could exercise whatever power they needed to exercise anywhere in the state to go get a water supply to bring into your district. Just FYI. And I'd also say that Doug has cultivated a very good relationship with Representative Rogers, and he's taking all of his groundwater district legislation and groundwater legislation cues from your district. And just politically, I'd support him if you could.
He does sit on the House Natural Resource Committee.
He sure does. And he's the vice chairman of the Land and Resource Management Committee, that's the Eminent Domain Committee, and he's very attuned to those issues, which is probably why he's limiting his public utility agency greater than it would be limited under the general law.
Brian, is it fair to say that for eminent domain, they have the power to go and get it, but a judge is still going to have to approve it?
Yeah, I mean, you have to... I'm sure there are some, I'm not aware of any wholesale water suppliers that are just going and condemning land for fun. If you condemn land, if you can't make an arm's length purchase and you need to condemn a pipeline easement, you know, you've got to pay the value for that in a condemnation proceeding of the landowner. That's just
bullshit. Yeah. Now I got to stand up again. Having dealt with eminent domain. You can go to court if you choose to pay the money and hire a lawyer and go. Otherwise, you don't go to court. You meet with somebody that has the absolute power to take from you what they wish and pay you what they intend to pay you. If you don't like that, it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you time. And there's no stinking guarantee you're going to gain a penny. I lost several thousand dollars because I chose to fight. Okay? No. While court exists, it is not one of those things where they have to go get a judgment against you. They just take it. You have to go and see them. Yeah.
Or got any other questions?
Still don't know what the two-thirds vote thing is. Oh, no, like, so I understand to say that the two-thirds vote, if it doesn't go two-thirds vote, then they don't have the power to eminent domain.
Right. Anything. Two-thirds vote out of each house.
Correct. Most bills have, well, not all of them, have language about if it does this, then it, we talk about
typically that. Typically, you see that if they get two-thirds vote, they take effect at the end of the session. Mm-hmm. If they don't get two-thirds vote, they take effect September 1 or September 30. I forgot which one it is. So, September 1. What's the board's pleasure?
I make a motion. We adopt the general manager's motion.
Which is adoption of resolution 23-002.
Do I hear a second? Motion dies for lack of a second. Doug, I would suggest when you visit with the Senate, with the representative, that our issues on the eminent domain part.
Right.
Item number 7, discussion regarding potential violations of district rules and take necessary action. Well, ID 723 in Parker County, owned by Elmwood Homes LLC. And I'll point out to the board, we did something with this well once before under a different owner. Doug?
Yes, sir. This well is well 723. Was a former well, believe it was used to be Devin Well, BKV Well. Is that correct, Kyle? Okay. They transferred it. Devin transferred it back to the owner. Barco developed that into Maravilla. Is that Maravilla Estates? Anyway, Barco developed it into Maravilla Estates. Transferred it into a domestic well, saying it was going to be used for the lot that well existed on. Last fall, I brought an issue to you guys that Barco had been using it for commercial purposes, still pumping at 60 gallons a minute. The board found them in violation of district rules. In the first major violation for failure for operating a well without a permit with a $1,000 penalty fee. They paid that and immediately after transferred the well to the home builder who had purchased the lot to Elmwood Homes. So that was transferred, like I said, immediately after they took care of that violation. On April 10th, staff was visiting multiple wells that had formerly non-exempt wells that did not acquire an HUP or reporting non-use. When they did, they found that the well was in operation. No meter was on the well. Well was pumping water into tanks, the trucks you can see there. Well still pumping at 60 plus gallons a minute. Again, it had no meter on it. District staff reached out to Elmwood Homes LLC, stated they were not filling up the trucks. However, they had allowed the developer to use the well. There's the email from Elmwood Homes stating that. District Rule 2.9 talks about you have to attain an operating permit for certain wells not exempt from metering, permitting, yada, 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 that don't have a historic use permit. District Rule 8.1 talks about wells that have to have a meter on them. There was no meter on the well. They do not have a permit. They were operating for commercial purposes, non-exempt purposes. Because there's no meter, there's really no way to know how much water they produced out of the well. There's a generator on site. We were able to identify the hours on the generator. So with that, my recommendation is a settlement offer to, language needs to be changed, not Mr. Mize. It's to Elmwood Homes LLC. In lieu of litigation with the first major violation for failure to meter the well, $500 penalty associated with first major violation, a second major violation for failure to obtain an operating permit prior to commencing operation of a well, a $1,000 penalty fee associated with the second major violation, a requirement to submit an estimate of the water produced from the well since September 19th, 2022, to the satisfaction of the general manager. I don't know how they're going to be able to do that. You know, if they rented that generator, maybe there's a record of the hours that were on that generator when they pulled up, but it's going to be difficult for them to estimate that, but we do know the total hours on the generator. And pay the water use fees associated with the production along with a 10% penalty and cease operation of the well as it is currently equipped no later than 11:59 tonight. Of course, we can give them a day if they want. I don't know if they're using it right now or not, but we'll go back out there tomorrow to see. I'll notify them tomorrow to stop using it.
I mean, you should not cease it tonight. They need due notice.
Okay. Yeah, I
give them. Yeah, probably because if they take legal action,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that in and of itself would say our action is unreasonable.
Right.
And you don't want to throw out the idea that we're
right
being unreasonable.
Right.
At the end of the month, 5 days, whatever. But,
right.
But change that.
28th next Friday.
Whatever you guys want to do.
I'll have to admit, I'm annoyed that we can't get to the person who's really doing this because he transferred the ownership off and he's been pumping the water when he knows that wasn't supposed to be done.
Right.
He knows there was supposed to be a meter on it, but we can't get to him.
Right.
That being said, anybody else have any questions?
I make a motion to accept the general manager's recommendation, except for the last paragraph, the last line.
Give until the 28th. Is that what you say?
And go to the 28th.
Okay.
Well, 5 days from today, whatever that number is. I'll second that motion.
Okay. At the end of the 5 days, how do we enforce the cease operation? Just out of curiosity.
I guess if they don't, I bring it back to you guys. File an injunction, I guess.
We can consider each day as a separate violation, correct? Please make that sure that's in your notice to them. And that each day after that fifth day, the board reserves the right to hold them as a separate violation under our permanent rules and penalties. That work? That work for the board?
Aye.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Same.
Okay. 6-0-1. Ann? Management report, general manager's report, report on delinquent customers, education outreach, injection well applications report, and well registration and groundwater production. Doug?
Yeah, only thing I really have to report on is, we did get that monitor well drilled out on the river in Southwest Parker County, drilled to what, 1200 feet plain, saw the sands where we thought we would. It was pretty tight. Didn't really appear to make a lot of water, but, man, screen from what, 1080 to 1160. Blaine was out there Monday. Water levels are where? So there's 700 foot of water in the hole and it's coming up 20 foot a day or so. So
what's the quality of the water?
We don't know yet. We're waiting on them to get a pump to drop down there to pump it, see what happens.
So we have water. We just don't know what kind.
It might be real tight. I don't know. The sands are pretty tight. This is, one of those things that may pump down to the pump and not really recover, you know, so we'll see what happens. But again, this is a project we did partnered with Parker County Sud. They're looking for brackish groundwater, to treat at their RO facility to help, you know, offset the use of fresh groundwater. So.
I know they can find plenty in Archer County.
Right. Right. So that's really all I have to report. I'll know more once. So I was hoping they'd have a pump in it by today, but they're waiting on one. So, and then, I'll have more, we'll know more next month.
And well registrations have recovered.
Yeah.
Much to the staff's detriment. It's coming back up anyway.
It's not where it was last year, but it's still more than it was
year before.
Yeah. I mean, it's more than it was every year up until 2021. Yeah.
So
we hit 200 last month, though. Of course, last March we hit 300. So yeah, it's just going to keep, it's going to keep happening, right? There's no other water brought into the area, then it's just all going to drill wells.
General counsel's report. Brian, are you awake?
Barely. Everything's going great. Thanks so much.
All right. I didn't expect that from a lawyer.
It's 8:32.
He usually has more words than that.
If you'd like a lengthy report, I can give you one.
I can't afford it. Thank you. Appreciate the offer.
Reading the room.
I believe our next meeting is set for May 15th. Is that correct? No, not May 15th. I'm sorry. Wake me up. Flat me. May 18th.
Correct.
Anybody have anything we need to put on the agenda? We've already discussed. If not, and show we're adjourned at 8:32. Did we get everything signed, fellas?
Okay.
This needs to go in there with her too.